I can't believe I took my pants off in the studio in front of you guys.
What are you doing, man?
Oh, I thought I had my shorts on underneath my elf
suit. Well, you don't.
You don't.
Oh, my God. I don't get embarrassed easily, but I'm kind of embarrassed. And if people are
probably matching the red shorts.
Well, people are probably wondering, what are you talking about? An elf suit? What the hell's going on?
Briefs or boxers?
Those were boxer briefs. You don't want to see him again, do you? I'll show
you. Yeah, okay. Commando. That's
yeah, AJ, I come into work today and he looks like an elf. I haven't seen him for a whole week.
Today, the day as we are doing this podcast, it is July 25th, which is Christmas in July. It's officially Christmas in July. So we have our big parade in Seattle on Saturday, our big torchlight parade, the Seafair event, and our theme is Christmas in July. So I get to be the elf. I get to be an elf. Santa's going to be there.
Pantsless elf.
Because I'm goofy like an elf, too.
You are.
So I'll be in my elf outfit. I had to try it on today, and I thought, why not just keep it on for a while? And
not only try it on, you had to ride the scooter to all the other stations to let them know. Yes.
And I thought I had my gym shorts on underneath, but I do
but
not.
Didn't.
And I gave the ladies a show. A horrific show.
It just happened, folks. We're still trying to recover from that.
Yeah. Your brain is going to be—it's going to burn in your
you
brain forever.
You can't
unsee
that.
Ever. So it's been a busy couple of weeks. It took last week off. I was at Disneyland, and
I want to hear about that.
I checked out the new Star Wars Galaxy Edge.
Oh my gosh, you love
that's
that.
The big thing. Yeah, it's really cool because it's the coolest part about it was we didn't have to wait like 2.5 hours in line. Because we were there with media, so we got the sneak peek. But I mean, anytime there's a new ride there, it's always going to be ridiculously packed. Mm.
But if I went without the media, how would the lines be?
I mean, you're going to wait a couple hours. But I will say this about that: what Disneyland has done a really good job of doing is keeping people entertained while they're in line, and it's shaded. There's all this area where you're like, a lot of it's indoors and air conditioning. So it's not like you're just scorching in the heat.
Nice.
So they've done, like, on most of their newer rides, and now almost all the rides, they have areas where you're not standing in the sun hardly
sweet.
At all,
good.
Which is nice because it gets hot down there in Southern California.
Yeah.
So at least that. And then they have different entertainment things going on. They have music playing, and they have parts of, like, when you're in line, there's a lot of stuff to look at to keep your attention occupied so you're not just sitting there.
Right, which you can't do.
No, I can't do that. But the ride itself is like you are flying and driving the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, my goodness. We wanted to hear about that.
And it's like a childhood dream, because when I was a kid, we all grew up with Star Wars at different levels, and some people are still into it. I'm not into Star Wars as much
as Anna,
like, right?
You will be, though, because of Max.
Yeah. Of course.
You will be.
And, just going there and being around all the characters and seeing all the, the different things, I was like, oh, this is great. And being able to sit in a cockpit, it was like a replica of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh.
And it's like a flight simulator, like, air pilots and astronauts have to practice in. That's what you're doing. You're driving. It feels like you're driving and turning. And
did you crash?
Yes, because our good friend Julie Judge was in charge of going up and down. Okay, I was in charge of going left and right. And Julie, and I know you're not supposed to blame other people, blaming your teammates, but she kept going. She was going up. Have you ever driven anything, Julie? But we bumped around a little bit, but it was so cool. It was so much fun. We were dodging meteors and
some of the rides have changed names or something.
It's the Incredicoaster now. I forget what it was called before.
Yeah, I saw pictures of you on that.
Yeah, it used to be Paradise Pier, and now it's Pixar Pier, and they changed the name of the rides to fit Pixar. So the Incredicoaster is for the Incredibles.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite ride. I love roller coasters.
Me too.
And I rode that sucker like 12 times in 2 days.
What?
I rode it seven times. I rode it seven times in a row. We got up there Monday morning after our broadcast.
We
and it was a Monday morning. There weren't too many people out yet, so I was like, I'm just going to ride the Incredicoaster, see how many times I can get on. And when you do the single rider line, that's the key.
That's what the secret is.
That's the secret.
That is the secret.
Ride the single rider line, and you can get more rides in. And the wait is at least half as long.
Yeah.
And we did Space Mountain, where the wait was 100 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we got on the ride. We did single riders, and we just stood a line together. We were in there like 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's ways to get around just standing in line.
And I hear Space Mountain is no longer Space Mountain.
Hyperspace Mountain is what it's called.
I am in disbelief.
Yeah.
I remember growing up with Space Mountain, but I bet Hyperspace Mountain sounds actually amazing.
Yeah. And, I mean, same ride. Everything's the same on it. And it's just really, really cool. It's a classic, and it's stood the test of time. It really has. I love it. I absolutely love that ride. But I'm a coaster freak. Anything that is like a roller coaster has... Like, it's fast and goes up and down and curves and upside down. I love it. I'm in.
Clearly, if you go for 12 times in a row.
Yes. 12 times in 2 days. I did 7 in a row. I would have done, next time I go, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and I'm going to talk to the Disneyland bigwigs and I'm going to say, do you have record of what's the most time someone's ridden the Incredicoaster at one time, like in a row? Oh. Like if it's 10 hours or if it's 12 hours or 8 hours or 100 times or whatever it is, I'd like to try to beat that record.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think it'd be kind of fun.
Right.
So I'd like to have that record because I was going strong. I mean, 7 in a row, I was just getting warmed up.
And you didn't get woozy or sick?
No, no.
You'd think after that many times, your brain would be rattling.
I was going for 10, but then by the time I did my 7th, it was starting to get packed in the park. So the line was getting a little longer, and then we had to leave for the airport. I was like, well, I probably got to get back.
Yeah.
I probably got to catch my flight.
Boss was like, where's AJ? Oh, he's riding the Incredicoaster still.
Yeah, he's still on the...
Still. 3 days later, I'm on the Incredicoaster.
That was the airplane.
He could stay on the Incredicoaster because he doesn't have a job here anymore. So what have you ladies been up to in the last couple of weeks?
Gosh, well, you were gone. There was, like, I think an earthquake over
here. Oh, another one?
Oh, so you were still here.
Oh, you were still here?
But
yeah.
We didn't podcast that week.
Oh, that's
because what
Because
he was.
Yeah. Oh, so we had, what was that registered?
4.7, I believe.
And you were real close to the epicenter,
yes,
right?
It was Three Lakes, and I was right there in Snohomish, and I was sound asleep, and it jolted me out of bed. I didn't know what happened. My sister, when I finally figured it out and I texted her, she's like, where did you take cover? I don't take cover. I didn't know what happened.
You don't have time.
She was just under the covers.
Right.
Yeah, I was hiding. No, I thought a tree hit the house, so I'm looking for limbs, you know.
You were way off on that one.
Scared the cat. Couldn't find the cat for a couple of days.
Yeah, we were still
That's
here.
Crazy.
And that was a good, I'd say, 50 miles from where we live. So I didn't feel anything. Mm-hmm. But you felt an earthquake before, right?
Well, not as badly as most people did when we were here in 2001.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
2001 was the big Nisqually earthquake here.
Yeah.
And that did a ton of damage in downtown Seattle.
The ground actually rolled. I was outside because we had horses, and the horses were acting up because they knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
what's
weird.
What's going on? And I go out, and I look over the field, and it was rolling. Just like, it was crazy.
Do you remember what that one was on the Richter scale?
Like 7.7.
Oh, that was 7?
It was a big one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things in Pioneer Square crumbled. Mm-hmm.
And
did we have a death? I don't know if we had a death.
I don't know. I don't think so.
What that did, I guess, it forced people to reinforce the buildings.
Yeah,
I know a lot of buildings downtown are reinforced, which
is
good.
I think ours is here. Thanks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right? Because we're up high. We're up high on a big hill.
Yeah.
So, that was pretty scary.
Yeah. Before that, they built the Rainier Tower, which was really known for being earthquake proof.
Mm-hmm.
And then, were you at the Columbia Tower then?
It was just before my shift started, so I had to go there right after it happened.
Yeah, and that one just it's earthquake proof, so it just sways a little. It really, really sways.
That's crazy.
That there,
I can't imagine being on, like, up in the 80th floor and having to go back and forth. That'd be terrifying.
That's a bad ride.
Now,
it's no Incredicoaster.
Do you guys? Yeah, right. A whole different kind of thrill ride. Do you guys have an earthquake kit? Like a prepare guide, because I don't, and I feel guilty because I have my 4-year-old, my son, my family. I feel like I should be a little more prepared.
Yeah, you should be prepared, having 3 weeks worth of food and supplies.
Water too, right?
Water.
But here's the thing: I've lived here my whole life.
Yeah.
And really, it's not like California. You know, it's like things don't really get ruined. I'm not saying it's not a good idea. It's always a good idea.
Sure.
To have a kid. When I was in kindergarten, we had a really big earthquake.
Did you say kindergarten?
Did he? I thought I heard it wrong too. I was just like,
when we were in kindergarten.
Kindergarten. My teacher left the room, and we had an earthquake. And I was the oldest in the class because my birthday's in November, and I thought it was a monster. And I'm yelling, hide, everybody, hide, it's a monster. So teacher comes back, And she's like, see, we're all hiding under our desk. Like, that's going to protect us from a monster. But she's like, oh, you guys are so smart.
And that's what you're supposed to do if you're in school, right? You hide under your desk or hide under something heavy.
Yeah, we didn't know that. We were just hiding from the monster. Monsters,
earthquakes, hide under your desk, kids. Right. Now, I have another question about this. Is a doorway, they say you're supposed to stand in the doorway if you're close to it, if you feel an earthquake?
You're not supposed to anymore.
You're not supposed to.
That used to be the belief, but now you're supposed to go to a sturdy table underneath it. Not on top.
Yeah. So if things fall down and crash on the table.
I don't know what it is anymore about why we're not supposed to go.
They don't make them doorways like they used to.
They don't make them like that anymore.
Our doors, you'd have to figure out how to hold it open so we could stand in it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
These, so heavy.
So heavy.
We have soundproof weighted doors.
Oh, man, they are heavy.
So what did you do in the last couple of weeks, Anna D?
What did I do?
Nothing? Busy?
Nothing. It's, well, my husband's in Canada. He's on a fishing trip with our church group.
Oh.
And so they have, like, no cell phone service or anything like that. And then tonight, I get to party.
Oh, what are you going to do?
I'm going to Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald concert?
And Chaka Khan.
And Chaka Khan?
I mean, Shaka.
Oh, yeah. Girl group.
Oh, yeah. Man. Michael McDonald and Chaka Khan. Where is that show going to be?
It's Chateau Saint-Michel.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, the winery.
The winery.
So Anna D's going to get her wine drinking on?
No, I'm the designated driver.
Oh, you're always so responsible.
It's ridiculous.
I don't like being responsible. Let me out of that club.
Are you doing any back-to-school stuff yet? Shopping or thinking about it?
Don't even get me started.
I did start like 3 weeks ago. Only I went to Walmart, and it wasn't to go back to school shopping. It just so happened that they had these shelves where they had tons of back to school stuff after the 4th of July, and it was on sale. I'm like, I'm just gonna fill this cart up.
Now, are you losing any sleep or stressed out about back to school stuff, back to school shopping?
No, I try not to think about it.
You're pretty laid back in general.
I don't know. When it gets closer to that time, you ask me that same question.
Because I found a survey here. 60% of parents, that's a lot, said they're losing sleep and stressing about their children going back to school. And the most stressful thing is that the actual start of school itself is the most stressful part. And they worry about their kid eating healthy food at school. Do you worry about that?
Like, okay, well, for the first part of the question, I mean, are parents, like, losing sleep, like, today, like, now, this week?
Yeah, they're thinking about it. You know, we're end of July, we're coming up to August, month away.
I am pretty irked that it is a month away, because less than a month ago, we just got out of school.
You guys start in August, end of August? Or,
yeah, we do.
Because where we are, we start after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Like, a week after Labor Day.
Yeah, that kind of bothers me that they only have, like, 2 months of school. Of summer vacation.
Yeah, but they also have midwinter break, which I never heard of. You got spring break, Christmas break, midwinter break.
I have a theory about that. I think they're trying to make it year-long school.
You do?
Because there's so many more working parents.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're stretching it out, and summer's getting shorter and shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be what's happening.
Maybe. I think as a parent, I wouldn't mind that.
What, having a whole... Year like long? Just less summer?
If they're going to do I kind of go back and forth with it because, summer break is summer break and that's the time to do, your vacations and whatnot. But I also kind of think that having like a midwinter break because as much as I joke around about how silly that is, if they are going to expand the school year, that might not be a bad idea because, like you said, for working parents. And I know my wife and I, the older he gets, we're both going to have to work.
Right.
I mean, it's hard. It's tough out there. And, I mean, we both have to work. And then finding places, whether it's a daycare or a babysitter when he gets older, I mean, that's tough. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
So I think that actually wouldn't be a bad idea. 42% of parents say they worry about the cost of new school supplies.
You know, I was going to mention that because as a single mom,
there's a lot.
Buy a lot of stuff, but I was so fortunate. There was a backpack program where we lived, and it was pretty humiliating to walk in. They did let you volunteer, so at least you felt like you were giving back.
Sure.
But they had a rule. They would not take anything used. Everything had to be new, and that was pretty awesome for my kids who, pretty much everything they got was secondhand.
Sure, you were a single mom with three kids.
So they got a brand new backpack and nice new school supplies, And, I mean, to this day, I am so grateful for that program.
And that's a great – what's the name of that program again?
Well, it's a backpack program. A lot of people – a lot of different schools have it. For us, it was the Family Resource Center.
Sure.
Would be.
And that's something I think especially single moms, single parents like you need to look into instead of, you know, worrying about going to the stores and finding new stuff.
Especially
there are options out there, which is great.
Yeah, especially if you have to choose between clothes and supplies.
Yeah.
You don't want your kid going back with, you know, mm-hmm. at least in one new outfit.
Would it have helped you if there was a program where you just pay like $30, excuse me, and it, you know, covers everything? Because that's at the end of elementary school for my kids, they were starting to implement that kind of program. They're like, hey, you guys, don't buy your own supplies anymore. We've now decided just give us $30 and the teachers will buy everything. And I felt like, well, $30 is great because I spent so much more buying the school supplies. Mm-hmm. If they know what they want and just need the $30 from each parent or each family.
That would have been a lot easier.
Yeah. So the Renton School District's doing that.
And there's school programs with clothes for kids. Like, for instance, here in Linwood, they have a clothes for kids program. So any low-income family can sign up, and their kid actually gets to go in and shop.
That's huge.
Yeah, so they get to pick out what they want. And it's so nice that, you know, for especially single moms or single dads or you know, maybe someone's out of work, to get that help. And if you feel like, for me, it was really hard. I felt like charity. But you can always give back in other ways.
Right.
So if you have to take advantage of something like that, do it with pride and know that you can give back when it's your turn.
Sure. And to give your kid that, you know, that head start and that gift where they don't have to feel, they can feel confident going to school and not having to wear, you know, some old stuff. Because it could be tough out there. And that brings me to another thing that parents are worried about going back to school. And that's making their kid making friends at school. And the bullying problem that is seemed to be getting better at times because there's a lot of schools that have these anti-bullying programs and raising awareness, which is great. And I think, unfortunately, I say that's good, but I wish that we didn't need to do that. But unfortunately, the reality is that we do. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'm sure you parents have stressed about at times, a time or two.
Man, we stressed about that as kids.
Yeah.
I stress about that as an adult, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bullying at your workplaces still, different places.
Well, and that's the problem is we want to help the kids, but the adults are bullying people. And, you know, so if the adults are doing it, the kids might model after that, you know? Right. But my son, he was getting bullied. I think he was in third grade. He wouldn't tell us, but everybody knew something was going on. And so when we got to the root of it, because he wouldn't tell us, we just knew something was going on. The kid that was bullying him, his dad had just gotten in big trouble for some things and was taken to jail.
That sucks.
And it's a small place where we lived, and so my son knew that had happened. And so he was taking it because he's like, Mom, his life is awful. And I'm like,
wow.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and I said, even that. We can work it out.
Sure.
You don't have to just take the abuse.
I was going to say, how do you handle that? When you know your kid is getting bullied at school, but he's not, or he or she is not talking about it, how do you handle that as a parent?
The teacher was so great because my kid is one of those really ADHD. I'm sure you can't relate to that.
No, I don't know anything about that.
And so if anything happened in the classroom, they would yell his
Look,
name.
A squirrel. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly. So the teacher loved him and was really great with him, and she knew something was up, and we got together and talked, and then some kid told. And so then we were able to get the two boys together, and because of the bull boy situation, it was really kind of a beautiful thing
that
we could all work out and teach him, you know, hey, we know it's not right at home, but you don't have to take it out on others, and how can we support you?
Sometimes it just, you know, takes someone to feel a little like love to help out the whole situation to make it better for everyone.
And on a small island, everyone, he's sure everybody knows and is judging him, even in third grade.
Right. Yeah. So the last thing here, and this is a pretty high, 45% of parents say they stress out about packing their kids' lunch because they forgot to do it. A time or 10. Have you ever forgotten to pack your kids' lunch?
No, because we always do cafeteria.
Oh, you always do the cafeteria food.
I mean, if I don't load their, you know, account, there's the problem.
Now I'm curious, how, like, when you say load their account, how does that work? Is that a weekly thing, a monthly thing, or daily thing?
It just depends on, you know, how much you put in there. I mean, you know, and how much it is.
What is it per day about?
Per day? Gosh, I want to say, like, it depends on their grade. So, of course, you know, I think
elementary
school. Yeah, because the smaller kids eat less and, you know. know, and then the high schoolers.
Oh, I thought you meant like their grades, like their their actual grade point average. So it's just like, man, I would have starved at school. They would have said, "Here's a cracker. Enjoy it. Here's a cracker and a stick of beef jerky. Get the hell out of here.
Get out of here.
Here's a little bottle of water. You're done.
Just
go do your homework."
Fountain.
I was like, oh, man, that's brutal.
No, it's so high schoolers, you know, they have an empty stomach, so that's going to be a
more
lot
choices.
More. They got more choices for sure. Yeah, but so I want to say, like, I don't know if I'm right, but I think like $1.20 for like elementary schools and maybe like $4 for, you know, high schoolers or
a day
like that. I feel like that. Yeah, something like that. And so, yeah.
Well, I can see how that adds up for someone who can't afford it. I mean, a month, that's, you know, 40 times, 4 times 30.
Yeah, the schools are really,
a month.
Really good about low-income kids. They get not only lunch but breakfast. That's... And it used to be that everybody knew the kids had it. But now they've got it in a way that people don't really know they're on the low income, which has more dignity to it.
Sure, yeah. Because I've heard some horror stories about kids that, you know, haven't been served their food because their account's past due, or it's just, it's really, really frustrating
and
to see that.
Who was it? Some celebrity paid.
Yeah, I've seen a few different stories about some celebrities doing that.
Where they paid all the back accounts, which is so beautiful.
I think that is awesome. I don't think any kid should have to worry about stuff like that, like eating
and
clothes.
Especially if they have a parent that's not responsible and hasn't got them signed up for the program, and then the kid pays the price.
Yeah, and that's the worst part about it. Mm-hmm. It really is.
But the good news is that when even though schools will say stuff like, well, if you go past, you know, negative $5 balance or whatever, you know, you're – we can't feed you. A lot of the lunch ladies out there will actually feed them.
The lunch ladies are beautiful people. They've always been the beautiful people. Some of my fondest memories are the bonding times that we've had with the lunch ladies.
I'm not going to lie. My lunch lady in high school, well, junior high and high because I saw one, she's my Facebook friend.
Oh, she is?
Oh, yeah.
My favorite lunch lady in high school, she always gave me an extra piece of pizza because when it was...
You are so charming.
When it was pizza day... I still to this day loved the cafeteria pizza in our school.
Is it square?
It's the squares. They're so good.
What?
Oh, they're so good.
So the crust wasn't too like moist?
I didn't know. It was always crunchy. Like it was always crunchy.
See, ours was like on the tray for so long that the steam from the bottom like would really make it like, oh, what's the time you get to your table is like,
it was
so chewy.
I did a guest speaking appearance at a school about a year and a half ago, and they were having pizza that day. And the auditorium where I was talking to the kids was pretty close to the cafeteria. So afterwards, I was walking out, and I smelled it, and it smelled the same as it did. I was just like, I was like, oh, my God, it's pizza day. And I went to one of the teachers, and I asked her, I said, can I have a piece of pizza? She's like, sure, come on in. They were so nice. They were so nice. Because I was just kind of half joking around about it. She's like, no, come on in. You could have a piece of pizza. And I took a bite of it, and it instantly brought me back to my childhood.
That is awesome.
It's one of those things that, you know, you have those smells and those tastes that bring you back to childhood. The cafeteria pizza is probably number one on my list.
Grilled cheese sandwiches were mine.
Grilled cheese? Oh yes.
Yeah. You can smell the butter.
Do you have one? A smell or a taste?
Actually, the beach, because we were so fortunate to grow up near the beach. And
fancy pants over here.
I know.
I grew up on the beach.
Yeah, well, that was before property cost anything. Anyway, this weekend I went over back to the beach and collected some rocks, and it just felt like I was home.
Yeah. That'd be a neat thing to have an experience growing up on the beach, but none of us are that lucky like you, Lori Hardy.
We had a seal that got beached on a storm, and so they put it in the lagoon by our house.
Uh-huh.
So we swam with a seal all summer.
How cool is that?
It was so cool. Charlie, we called him.
Is that usually dangerous?
Seals are pretty tame, right?
They look like puppies.
Yeah, but if you touch a baby seal, then its mom's going to reject it. But this was clearly separated from mom.
Oh.
And so we put it in there to help it survive.
So the mom will reject the baby, the seal?
Yes. So there's a lot of beaches where there's seals and they're signed. There's even seal watchers now that will stand because people want to touch them. They can't help it. But if they do, then the moms reject them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It is, but it's true, and so people need to know that.
And then you can keep the baby seal.
Well, we kept it for, take it home. We kept it for a whole season, and it would, we'd back float, and it'd swim up on our.
Oh, that's so cute.
But then when it came fall, Floyd Hardenbrook opened the gate and let it out. Go back to its.
Damn you, Floyd Hardenbrook.
I know.
Letting that seal out there. You scarred her childhood.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Floyd. Before we wrap this baby up today, we finish it up like we always do with life coach Lori Hardy, who has a book out. The book is called?
Did Not See That Coming.
The podcast is called?
Enough.
And we have our life tip with Lori. Do you have a special life tip for us today, Lori?
I do, and it has to do with you going to Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
Gratitude. Oh. It's like you enjoy everything so much. And like I said, when you're gone, it is so boring around here. Everyone's
it's
nice.
Probably quiet. I think some people are like, oh, whew. No. A little peace and quiet around here.
No, it is nobody. Boring. But I know you were grateful for the roller coaster.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I know it made me more grateful for you. And it's like if we take a minute every day to be grateful, it takes less than 20 seconds. And today I like to be thankful for the clouds. And today there's not a cloud in the sky.
There's not.
Not a cloud in the sky. And I was so grateful for that.
Because we've had a lot of clouds in the skies this past summer.
Lately, yeah. So taking time to be grateful, even maybe taking a journal. And writing five things a day you're grateful for. I mean, it's a great way to stay connected and stay in that positive state of mind.
Awesome idea. And I catch myself sometimes. The worst time for me is when I'm stuck in traffic. I get so angry sometimes.
I call it job security.
And yes, you're the traffic guru around here. But that's when I try to think of something positive. I try to think of some things that I'm happy for, grateful for, looking forward to. But yeah,
a good practice.
When you get in those spots in your day or your life when you're feeling like that. Practice gratitude.
And
good
like
stuff.
Anna said, so often you're stuck in traffic and you're mad, and a little ways down the road you find out had you not been stuck, maybe you would have been in an accident.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, that even being grateful as hard as it is for that, okay, whatever this is about, I'm just going to sing with Warm 106.9.
That's it. That's it.
Or think about your square pizza.
Yes.
Super nerd mom Anna D over there. Life coach Lori Hardy over here. I'm AJ, the annoying one. I do the afternoon show here on Warm 106.9 in Seattle. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Listen and learn.
Or not.
Bye.
Bye-bye.